So the first reading is from Isaiah 9, verses 2 and 6 and 7. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness. From that time on and forever, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
And I'm reading from Psalm 148, probably familiar to some of you, a real psalm of praise, which I think is very appropriate for this morning. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights above. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his heavenly hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens and you waters above the skies. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He set them in place forever and ever. He gave a decree that will never pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all ocean depths. Lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do his bidding. You mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds. Kings of the earth and all nations, you princes and all rulers on earth, young men and maidens, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens. He has raised up for his people a horn, the praise of all his saints of Israel. The people close to his heart praise the Lord. Okay, good to be with you this morning, whether in person or on Zoom. Hello everybody on Zoom. I did speak to you when I first came in, but it's really good to be with you, even though we're not physically together, which is interesting. But anyway, I've got a few things to share with you. I always find it interesting how people celebrate Christmas. And most families, I think, have a particular tradition, something they do, or a particular way they celebrate it. But it's really interesting to see how people regard Christmas and the different things they do. And I think often there is little understanding of its real meaning. In fact, I think if you look around, watch your television, read your newspaper, go into the high street, there's very little about the birth of Christ. Just about everything else is on offer, isn't it? I was talking to somebody recently at the fitness centre in Adash Green, where I go. I go there swimming and I go in the sauna and do different things there. And you may not have gathered this, but I'm quite good at talking to people. That's something I enjoy doing. You know, a bit of a one for that. And I can't bear a silent room with people. I'll always get into conversation with people. But anyway, got talking to one man, actually it was in the sauna. And he was talking about Christmas. He was telling me about the party he's going to, the big Christmas meal with the firm and who was going and what they were going to have and when it was and all the rest of it. Told me what he bought his wife for Christmas. That was interesting, I tell you. And he was telling me all about everything he was doing. And so he said, well, what are you doing at Christmas? So I told him one or two secular things I was doing. And then I said, well, I'll be going to two or three carol services. And on Christmas Day, I'm going to a couple of services. In fact, I'm actually speaking at them. Oh, really? He said, you're going to church on Christmas Day? He was really surprised that I was going to church on Christmas Day. And I said, well, do you go to any carol service or anything like that then? So he said, to be honest, he said, I love Christmas, but I don't really do the religious aspect of it. Goodness me, what is Christmas about then? If there's no spiritual or religious, if you want to use that word, aspect to it. For many people, Christmas is about presents. What can I get? What might I love to have? Jenny enjoyed her socks, apparently. So we're told. I don't know what else she's going to undo. I don't know what Rachel has had. Ian, I don't know. Oh, you fudge cake. That was the excitement of the day. But we love to get presents, don't we? And even what can I give? I used to have an aunt that used to say she used to love Christmas because it was an opportunity to buy something for people that she wanted them to have. Very generous lady, actually, extremely generous. And when she died, we were staggered at the wealth she left. It was absolutely incredible how God blessed her. She'd been a missionary in India for a number of years, and God just, financial blessing just seemed to follow her everywhere. Quite incredible. But if you're anything like me, you probably have family members ask you what you would like for Christmas quite frequently. And I was having that months ago. Dad, what would you like for Christmas? My brother always says, oh, John, I don't know what to get you. And shall we just call it quits this year or just get a token or something? I don't know. It's difficult. And of course, we've all heard the famous phrase, haven't we? What do you buy for the man who has everything? What do you buy for somebody that has everything? Or the woman that has everything? Or even, dare I say, these days, the child that has everything, because they seem to have it all, don't they? Computers, mobile phones, tablets, I mean, the whole jolly lot. Well, I thought I'd bring a few things today, just not particularly that I got this year, but representative of the sort of things I've had over the years. So, have a little look in here. Can the Zoom people see that? What are they? Somebody, please.
Socks.
Yes. Hey. I used to have an aunt. She's no longer alive, but I used to have an aunt who every year I always knew what I would get. She would always buy me socks. I could guarantee it. If I was getting to the point where I needed some new socks and it was drawing close to Christmas, you could count on Auntie Olive for that one. In fact, I've even got some here somewhere if I can find them. I've even got my name on.
Hey.
So if I get who I am, there you go, socks with my name on. I got them from somebody for a birthday, actually. And on occasions, I even used to get underwear, little pants. I mean, you can't get more practical than that, can you? And my brother one year, he decided he would buy me that. It's actually, I can't turn it on because the charge has gone down. So the Zoom people can see it. A torch. He thought that would be very practical.
Solar powered.
But you'll love this one. What's that, do you think? Zoomers, what's that? Deodorant. When I was a teenager, I went out with a girl that actually bought me a bottle of deodorant and a thing of aftershave for Christmas. And I thought she might just have been trying to tell me something. But she did assure me when I spoke to her that she said, well, I know you always use it. So I knew it would come in handy. So what a relief. I was worried about that one, I have to be honest. Checking myself every time I went to see it. But what about the most wonderful and the most needed gift that we have been given? And you know what I'm talking about, don't you? The gift of God's Son, Jesus, who has secured our salvation. An amazing gift. Jenny, better than socks, I tell you. The most wonderful gift we could ever have. And yet most people reject it. Most people, this Christmas, as others, will not even give that a thought. They will not give that a thought at all. Some of you may have heard of J. John. Heard of J. John? Rachel has. You've heard of J. John at the back. J. John. Zoomers, heard of J. John? I've got a famous quote of his that I rather like, which I think is worth considering this morning. If the world's greatest need was a financial one, God would have sent an economist. If the world's greatest need was a political solution, he would have sent a politician. If the world's greatest need was education, he would have sent a professor. If the world's greatest need was food, he would have sent a farmer. If the world's greatest need was for wonderful buildings and houses to live in, he would have sent an architect and probably some builders as well. If our greatest need was great health, he would have sent a doctor. If our greatest need was to be entertained, better than jokes earlier, hopefully, he would have sent a comedian. But because our greatest need was to be saved from sin, he sent a saviour. A saviour who would be truly Emmanuel, God with us. And he can be God with us in every situation. And if you're going through a tough Christmas, if things are difficult at the moment, if you're weighed down with anxiety and worry, and many people do at Christmas time, God can be with you in that situation. I've been there. I know that to be true. I can testify to it. You see, the Bible teaches that we have all fallen short of God's standard. We've all been born into sin. We have a sin nature. There's not anything we can do about that. It's there. And so we need a saviour. And God didn't give us necessarily what we wanted. He didn't send out a list and say, here, put down what you'd like to have for Christmas. He responded to the need that he knew we had. One famous preacher, I think it was Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the famous preacher, you probably heard of him. I'm not 100% certain on that, but I think it was him. He had this to say: the heart of the human problem is the problem of the human heart. The heart of the human problem is the problem of the human heart. The Bible teaches that the heart of man is sinful and desperately, it's sinful above all things and desperately wicked. That is what our hearts are like. If we're honest, we know that to be true. And so we need a saviour who will truly be Emmanuel, God with us. A saviour who would be, just as we read about in Isaiah 52, thank you Ian for reading that, he would be one who would bring good news. And that, by the way, is what gospel means. It's good news. It's great news. It's wonderful news. It's life-transforming, life-changing news. He would be one who would proclaim peace. And don't we need that in this world? Goodness me. He's the one that would bring good tidings, not bad ones. He would proclaim salvation, declare it to us, and declare that our God reigns in the here and now and throughout the times of history. And because of that, we today can burst into songs of joy and praise, just as I read to you about in Psalm 148, which is why I chose that particular psalm. I'm glad that God didn't send what we might have felt we wanted. I'm glad he didn't. But rather he sent what he knew each and every man, woman, and child throughout history would need. You know, you can see the evidence of need all around the world. We live in some very difficult times with COVID, with wars going on, with trouble and strife, with political problems, and economic problems starting to come to the fore now. Inflation is racing ahead now. Government have to do something about it, or the Bank of England has stepped in and have just a day or two ago announced an interest rate rise to try and curb it. You can add the list endlessly, can't you, the world's problems. You see, for some people, Christmas is filled with dread as they contemplate their problems and go into anxiety and worry. Last night at the Kingsland Carol service we had in the open air, I got talking to a lady for a few minutes, never met her before, and she was pouring out her heart, really, and it was full of woes and problems and worries and concerns and this isn't going to work and I'm worried about that and I really don't know about this and we're behind with the mortgage and all the rest of it. And I prayed with her. I said, because it doesn't have to be this way. It doesn't mean the problems will disappear, but the wonderful news of Christmas is that God is with us through his son Jesus that he sent. As Luke 2 and verse 10 tells us, the good news of the gospel brings joy for all people. It's available to everybody, not a select few. If you've never really experienced the joy of Christmas, and I want to suggest to you, lots of people have not, then you can do so starting from today. This can be a Christmas that can totally transform your life, your outlook, your attitudes, and the way that you live going forward by simply receiving him as your personal Lord and Saviour. It's so simple to do that so many miss it. But it's simply coming in repentance of sin and saying, I acknowledge I've fallen short. I know I've sinned. I know my life isn't all that it ought to be. But I come to you because you are the Saviour of the world. And I know, according to God's word, that you can save me. So I choose to place faith in that and receive you today as my Lord and Saviour. And if you do that, I promise you, you will know truly Emmanuel, God with us. So I wish you all a happy, a wonderful, and a blessed Christmas as you celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus this year. Amen.
Amen.